This storm has fusion and delay.
You have caused
confusion and delay.
I think you are facing prejudice.
Daisy is just the ultimate fun. Daisy is just the ultimate fun.
Your impatience has caused confusion and delay. This storm has caused confusion and delay. You are causing confusion and delay. You cause confusion and delay.
26 years old and you can't even drive? I can. Are you stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Bit grey today.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to The Deepest Lore. It's been away for a little while. I think past 2 or even 3 weeks, Deepest Lore's been away. But now it's back. Let's get this show on the road. Next week, I know, we're going to have Dee and Alexander Adams on for the long-awaited Francis Bacon stream. Week after that, we're going to have Marcus and Tristan back to talk about the seed oils and what people are putting in our foods and things like that again. But today, it's a nice little cozy stream with me talking about RimWorld and why I love it as a game. I'm going to be giving you an exclusive tour around the base that I've been working on for the past few weeks, which is now seven and a half years old. I'll introduce you to, my thinking behind the base, the people in it, the religion and the culture of the people and so on and so forth. But before we get to all of that, I just want to remind everybody, join the channel. If you're not already a member, subscribe to my Substack, and most importantly, buy a course at the academic agency to level up your econ knowledge. Take the Trivium to improve in your writing and grammar, in your logical skills, and indeed in rhetoric, which is the foundations of rhetoric, I think, is maybe the most underrated of the courses that I put together. Certainly the one that took probably the most work by me, because, you know, I know writing and grammar like the back of my hand. Logic is pretty straightforward. But rhetoric, I basically had to, go back and rediscover the rule book. I had to, reconstruct what a rhetoric course would look like in 2023. So, an underrated one. Anyway, let us now talk a little bit about what is RimWorld and how did I come about this game? Why have I spent... I haven't checked my Steam hours, but I've got to have a... It's got to be up there with my most game... Let me just check my Steam to see what my most played game is. Hours played. Let's have a look. Yeah, okay, so... I know my most... I don't have the stats on here, but there was an edition of Football Manager that I put more than 1,000 hours into. So I know that that is my most played game of all time. I also, even on this edition of Steam that I've got here, Football Manager 2013, 374 hours. Football Manager 2014, 142 hours. Football Manager 2012, 79 hours. Football Manager 2016, 62.7 hours. Football Manager 2018, 22.4 hours. So, without doubt, Football Manager is my most played game ever. But then, not far behind it at this point, is, according to my Steam stats, RimWorld on 334.8 hours of my life have I spent playing this game. I should also, probably not captured in this is Dwarf Fortress, which I'll talk about in a moment, which is one of my favourite games of all time, and it is the reason that I like RimWorld. I'll expand on that in a moment. But if you're interested, the other most played games of mine of all time, Mountain Blade Warband, 242.1 hours. Crusader Kings 2, 162.8 hours. Blood Bowl Legendary Edition, believe it or not, 62.5 hours. Dark Souls Remastered, 123.3 hours. Darkest Dungeon, 95.8 hours. Football Tactics and Glory, 94.6 hours. Battle Brothers, which is an interesting game, 87 hours. Football Manager 2021, 77.9. Spectromancer, which is a kind of funky card game I used to play back in the day, 77.5 hours. Mad Games Tycoon 2, 69.3 hours. Prison Architect, 63.9 hours. Football Manager 2016, there it is again, 62.7. Stardew Valley, 61.6. Civilization 6, 56.8. Skyrim, 56.6. Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers, 2012 edition, 53.4. Craft the World, 52.3. Fallout New Vegas, 45. Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate, which was actually a game I played with my wife, 37.6. Civilization 5, 33.4. Graveyard Keeper, 32.2. Sims 4, 30.6. Monster Train, 29.4. The Magic the Gathering 2014 edition is 26. Slay the Spire, 24.3. There's another Football Manager there, 22.4. Morrowind, 21.7. Now, I will say that I have only had this Steam account since... When did that Steam account start? Let me have a look. I think I've had my Steam account since... I'm just seeing when my very first transaction on there was. That will explain it, won't it? Right, 2009 is when I started my Steam account. And my very first purchase was the original Mount & Blade, friends. That was my very first game on Steam. But of course, it does not factor in all of the time I spent playing games before then. And I would say that I spent more times playing games in the 2000s and obviously in the late 90s than I did in the 2010s. Because in the 2010s, I was in my 30s and, I was busy and I had a job and all that. Whereas in the 2000s, I was, I was mainly a student. So you had a lot more time to fuck around doing things like that. And what I used to do is I used to get all of my work and my essays and things in early. Like, say the deadline was in 2 weeks' time. I'd get it in, 2 weeks beforehand, so that when everybody else was, struggling working up to the deadline, I could just play Football Manager or do whatever I wanted to do. And I've always kind of been a bit like that. So Football Manager ended AA's first marriage. I did play a lot of Football Manager, in the 2000s, I have to say. I should mention that a lot of my gaming hours are spent doing other things, right? So let's just say RimWorld, for example. I will seldom just play RimWorld alone. I will also, listen to a show or read an audiobook or something. I seldom only play the game. So that accounts for some of the very high numbers of hours there. I'm doing something else while playing most of those games. And for that reason, I tend to play more kind of strategy games and turn-based games than I do games where you have to move, you have to actually move the man with a controller. Although I did buy a Nintendo Switch recently, but I've barely played it. Okay, so with all of that said, what is RimWorld? Well, the premise of RimWorld is quite similar to that of Dwarf Fortress. If you've ever played Dwarf Fortress, one of my favorite games of all time, And obviously, that has only come on Steam recently, so I don't know what my total hours of Dwarf Fortress would be. But I started playing Dwarf Fortress in the early 2010s. Let's say, like, in 2010 or something. You know, I would have started playing Dwarf Fortress. A game with an extremely steep learning curve. But you basically build a fortress with these little dwarves. Back then, it didn't even have graphics, but I've always played it with graphics packs that you can add, which I know is not very purist. And Dwarf Fortress is an insanely complicated game, but it's a lot of fun. And one of the reasons that I love Dwarf Fortress is for the same reason that I love Crusader Kings 2, the same reason that I love a lot of games that have kind of a mixture of management and, I guess, a procedurally generated story that you tell yourself. And this is really what Dwarf Fortress is. It's a kind of a storytelling generator. And there's a designer called Tynan Sylvester, who, for a games designer, has pretty good physiognomy, I have to say. I mean, I don't know anything about this guy. He's based in Montreal, but he seems pretty chad, as far as I can tell. And I don't know much about him other than the fact that he is the man who he is the man that developed RimWorld. And he was and is a big fan of Dwarf Fortress. Now, the thing is with Dwarf Fortress is that because it's so insanely complicated and has such a steep learning curve, playing the game is a bit like you need a lot of setup for it. It takes a lot of management and so on. And it's almost like going to work or something. If I'm going to start a new fortress in Dwarf Fortress, I have to clear the decks, and it is quite involved. And so it's a bit more difficult to play Dwarf Fortress casually in that way. I have to say, there are some games that I have in the category of too good to play. Right, for example. Do you remember I said that I've got 160-odd hours in Crusader Kings 2? What I didn't say is that all of those hours have come in just 3 or 4 long binges where essentially I play the game for 2 or 3 days straight without sleeping and do nothing else. I may have at one point called in sick to work because I was playing Crusader Kings 2. I think I could admit that now. I called in sick because I was too invested in Crusader Kings 2. So Crusader Kings 2 is a game that I consider too good to play. And one of the reasons that it's too good to play is that I don't just play Crusader Kings 2 like casually. You know, I will keep records of what's happening. I will keep dates. I have a notepad next to me. I really get very into Crusader Kings 2. I want to keep a tight eye on who is in the court and their stats and so on and so forth. But, you know, the real joy of Crusader Kings is that it is a kind of, you're telling a story. You know, then things happen in the game, obviously, but, you know, it's basically a storytelling device. And Dwarf Fortress is also a game that's a bit like that. It's a little bit too good to play, because when you do start playing it, it fucking takes over. Now, RimWorld is super addictive, and also is something that you can get, you know, a little bit obsessed with as well, just like Crusader Kings and Dwarf Fortress. However, I would say that it is simplified enough, sort of, and the interface is that much more kind of user-friendly and intuitive than the Dwarf Fortress one. that you can get away with playing RimWorld a little bit more casually. You know, being me, I still get quite invested, but, you know, I can turn RimWorld off. Whereas if I, some of those other games, I just can't, you know, I just can't turn them off. And it would, you know, they start wrecking my life, basically. You know, it's like, I mean, I know the meme is just one more turn, but with Crusader Kings 2, it's like, oh shit, 3 days have passed and I've not washed or something, you know. So, I mean, I'm barely even, you know, I'm kind of joking, but I'm also not, you know. So, RimWorld, I think, has got a quite nice balance between scratching those sorts of itches without being as kind of super dangerous as those games are. And when I say dangerous, like, I mean, you know, I'll say like the wreck your life or something. But if you're calling in sick to work to play a game, something's gone wrong, right? So, right. So let us know. Let us know. And somebody's saying that I wear a crown when I'm playing. I'll tell you something. Back in 1996, back in the Championship Manager days, there was a famous story where my friends called on me and I was playing a Championship Manager 1996, as it was called back then. Champo, we called it. Champo 96-97. And they called on me and I was wearing a suit. They were like, why are you wearing a suit? It's like, because I was wanted to get into the character of being the football manager, you understand? So, I did do that once, but, you know, anyway. right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show... I think the easiest way to explain this game is to show it to you. I'm not going to play it on air. I'm just going to show you around the base and explain a little bit around, you know, some of the kind of lore behind the group and some of the pawns I've got and so on. So I was wearing a tie. I was wearing a tie. That was 1996. That was John Major was still the Prime Minister back then. So, you know. All right, let me just share my screen a moment. Hopefully this works. I'll share my audio and I will, what I'll have to do, let me just get this together. I did make a couple of notes, but I kind of ran out of time. So let's, let me open up my own thingy so I can see the chat. Hold on, shut up. Deepest Lore's getting ads in the middle of the stream. How's that happening then? People have been complaining there are too many ads on my channel at the moment. I don't know. I don't have any control over that. It's just like, I do know that this dude from YouTube was trying to made me put mid-roll ads on. I was like, okay then. And but now people complain about them. So sorry about that. There must be ways to block the ads. Okay. Now, let me share my screen. Hopefully you can see this. Can you see that? Oh, God's sake. Right. You can see this. Shut up. Okay, you can see, I think you can see that. Right. Now, people are speculating, like, how many mods do I play with and so on. I did have a version of the game that was very heavily modded. But what happened is that a new DLC was released called Biotech, was it? Or Ideology? And I wanted to have a go of the game with no mods and just the three DLCs. So this particular game is basically vanilla plus Biotech, Ideology, and what's the other one called? Royalty, is it? So that there are ideology, there's Biotech, and there's Royalty. Now, let me just show you the extent of the base here. There's the base. You can see the landmass here. It's a mountainous and mass. There's the extent of the base, and I'll just give you a bit of a tour around here. We might as well start with trunts. So if you're a guest coming, general wildlife and things, some deer and so on, and you come through here, and you come to the imposing corridor of skulls. These are all the skulls of the enemies of various people, although many more have died. There is a... generally, when people get killed, they are taken to this... tomb here, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Okay, so people are saying the quality of the stream is poor. I don't know about that. I don't know how to deal with the quality of the stream. Fuck off. I can't. I can't. Yeah, anyway, so let us... the frame rate has dropped. Oh, bugger it, I'm not doing the stream then. I can't do frame rate, friends. I've got a stupid 4G connection at the minute because my internet is buggered. My internet is buggered at the moment, and I'm waiting for it to be fixed. Since they upgraded it, it didn't work. So I've got a 4G thing that I've bought, and that's why I've been having some internet issues. Okay, it's when I scroll. Well, don't fucking troll me then, hermit. Anyway, I'll try not to scroll too much. It's causing it to lag. So anyway, this is the entrance. They come in here. If you were trying to invade this place, you'd have to come through here, and these are all like spike traps that they walk on, and they come through here, and they are met with a kind of barrage of turrets and guns and things, which will basically kill most enemies dead on sight. You know, if you can get through there, if they can get through there and survive, then there are other things waiting for them as well. I can either get some of the colonists to come over here and shoot them, or I do have various pets here, including a rhinoceros called Rocksteady and his wife Bebop and Rocksteady. Do you remember them? These rhinoceroses will come and attack, as well as this Thrumbo called Zinada, or this mega sloth called Tank. They're all fully trained to attack on sight. So they will attack. They'll come down here, charge, and generally, if somebody's caught up in a melee with a massive animal like that, the guns will take them out. So this is generally the first line of defense. Now there are several things in the game that can mess this up, which I'll tell you about. For example, you can get an insectoid infestation which comes in under the mountain, and obviously if they come in elsewhere, that buggers up these defenses. Also, I'm 7.5 years into this game at the minute, and they can parachute in, and when that happens, it's kind of, you know, that kind of scrambles the defenses a little bit. But there's also this steel mortar that can shoot like kind of bombs and incendiaries and things. So that's the basic defense setup here. Okay. So then we come through. Yes, I do. I build under a mountain. Now, why do I build under a mountain? Because I'm a Dwarf Fortress player. I'm a Dwarf Fortress player, Carl. Old habits die hard. And I can't help but build my fort on the side of a mountain. So that's what I always do. Now, what happens now is that you come in here, and there are basically two entrances. You can either come into this entrance. This is a kind of junk storeroom, just a massive storeroom where You see this mega sloth here? He's set to haul, and he is allowed in this room. So when all the trees are cut down, and when like there's lots of animals up here who give off like wool and milk and things like that, he can go and pick them up. He has license to go and pick them up. So that room is there. It's a massive room, very impressive room. It also has this waste pack atomizer. Well, I tell you what, if you haven't played the biotech add-on, the research and the lengths that you have to go to build this room are insane, because the waste is a massive problem. Up until I got this machine, the way I was dealing with waste is that I would stick 25 waste packs into one of these pods, and then I'd basically just launch it. Where's my base? There's my base here. I'd stick 25 waste packs in there, and I'd just launch it at this town here, which really pissed off the sharp frogs. So I was just launching waste across the map. So it's very handy now that I have that machine. So yes, there's my waste pack atomizer. And then you come into the base, and straight away there is the kind of bedroom of the leader and his throne room here. I'll tell you a bit more. The leader of the group, who are called the Brotherhood of the Blood, is called Benny, and that's his bedroom, and there's his throne room. So he lives quite close to the entrance, but you know, then there's a couple of little storerooms here, one where guns are kept and one where kind of melee weapons are kept. Generally the melee weapons just get sold off to merchants and things. These launchers here, these EMP launchers, are in case there is a mechanoid attack. There are mechanoids in the game, and they're very dangerous enemies, and they need to be taken out quickly with these EMPs, which stun them, and then you have to kind of shoot them as quickly as possible. Now he was called Benny at the game start. I didn't really change his name or anything, but his name was Benny from the Brotherhood of the Blood. I'll tell you a lot about the Brotherhood of the Blood and their religion and so on in a moment. But first, please let me complete the tour. Then coming through this corridor here. Now, I will say this is quite a recent expansion. I've had this base for 7.5 years, and for the longest time, the actual entrance was here, and this whole complex that has been added has only really been there for the past 3 years. This is quite a recent addition, this part that you're seeing. And the wool and things and the leather that you get from the animals is processed into clothes here. This is the kind of tailor's workshop. And then from there, you can get into the living area. Now, I should say there's quite a lot of blood and things here, because you're seeing this in the aftermath of... I effectively got a double raid. There was a massive pack of Manhunter Labradors, the remnants of who you can see there, that attacked the fortress very recently, causing a lot of carnage. And then right on the top of, like, just as I was recovering from that, all of these dead bodies you can see here was a raid that took place. And it was a fucking massive raid as well. And the reason that the raid was massive is because the wealth of the fortress is quite significant at this time. If you have a look, the wealth of the fortress is... Well, I mean, the line has gone up a lot. And when you get to the stage where the line has gone up a lot, the game really starts hitting you with some pretty difficult raids. If you're wondering what my storyteller is, Can I do it there? This was my star. I crash landed with three, and I think I'm playing on Cassandra Classic. I think it's a Cassandra Classic game. Cassandra Classic is and on. Now I will say that I'm not playing on Iron Man mode where you cannot reload. That's because I mean, there's a certain fun to doing that, but I don't know. Sometimes you need to reload. Sometimes for various reasons you need to reload. So yeah. How do I show it? I show it in options. There you go. I'm playing on Adventure Cassandra Classic. That's my current mode. Yeah, if you've never played this game before, there are three different storytellers: Cassandra Classic, Phoebe Chillax, and Randy Random. And I just always played on Cassandra Classic. It's just how I used to play in the game. There are certain things like Cassandra Classic will hit you with a raid every few. I mean, I was kind of quite bummed out that after the Manhunters came, I immediately got raided, because usually it's one or the other, but she hit me with both. Okay, so let me just talk you. See, anyway, so if you're wondering what all this stuff is on the floor, it's the remnants of a fucking massive raid that I've just gotten over. We're about a day or two past that raid, so they still haven't had a cleanup. Yeah, this is the kind of recreation area. They watch TV down here. They can play chess, have a little game of billiards. This is where they have their lunch and things. Just a kind of chill out area. This little space here is where the air goes out for the vent. The very first rooms that were built in the fortress was these four rooms. So the original fortress was just that, you know, for about the first year or so, it was just these four rooms, and everything else is built around it. So this space here is the remnant of the original design. But now, if I ever do a trade, which I can do over here, with this orbital station, if I ever do trade with spaceships and so on, they tend to drop all of the stuff that I buy from them into this gap, so it's quite easily accessible for storage and so on. So yeah, this is the recreation area. This area here is for these. It's for kind of. It's a mix between genetic reassembly. There's all the genes that I've got here, an extraction of genes, and then these are the biosculptor pods, where I can do various things, like, for example, these can grow back various body parts that are lost through Glitter World magic. Also, they can de-age people. So I've got one colonist, Meki, who I'll tell you a bit more about in a second, who I have continually de-aged. She was like 60. I've de-aged her down to 48. What's her age? Where's Meki gone? I've de-aged her. Yeah, she's now 47 years old through continual de-aging by me. And that means that she, if you have a look, is... She can now have babies at the age of 47, and that's why I've de-aged Meki, because I wanted her to have a kid. So, anyway, the question of why to play this over Dwarf Fortress, I explained at the start of the stream, being here, but it also has what is known as Z levels. You can go down 100 levels, or you can even build up in Dwarf Fortress. So, so the reason that I'd play this over that is simply that this is a bit simpler and the interface is a lot easier. So it's a little bit more casual, you know, it's just a little bit more casual. All right. So that is why, I play this. It scratches the same itch, but it's just a little bit less, tiny bit less involved. All right. So then you go from this, this area here. There's the kitchen. This is the kitchen storeroom. Meat is stored up here. There are kind of hare and turkey meat currently, and then we've got bison meat, goat meat, and then a ton of Labrador meat from this recent invasion. I wasn't going to let those dogs go to waste. They can eat those dogs. And then if the storage was full, what are they storing there? They store other things like potatoes and rice and whatever else in this storeroom. And that is for quick and easy access to the kitchen, where they can also brew beer. There's some beer that has been brewed recently. And there's also another storage that they can get to here. This is like excess kitchen storage, where they can keep a few other things like chocolate and eggs, and these are smoke leaves, basically tobacco in the game, milk, and so on and so forth. So that is the basic food position. There's Jackie there. She's the main cook. She's making four fine meals as we speak. Have a look at the fine meals. There at the moment, those meals there are goat meat, rice, and potatoes. So there we go. Some lovely meals. So then going up here, there's a bit of a drug lab here. This is where they can make a few drugs and things. Incidentally, RimWorld was banned in Australia because of this feature, because they can take drugs and they can get addicted to drugs in the game. The fact that there's a drug lab. And this is also where cloth is stored. This drug lab can be used to make medicine. Now, if you're familiar with this game, I have a lot of automated settings in the game, whereby I've got it to set so I've always got 100 medicine. So at the moment, there'll be an order in the game for somebody to go and make one medicine because there's less than 100 there. So, and all of the workbenches, if you have a look, are set up in this way. So I always want to have spare clothes for everybody. I want to have spare stuff for a lot of people. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to scroll slowly so it doesn't trigger the thingy. This is the this is where the prisoners are kept. When there are raids, you can capture people who get injured and so on, drag them in there, and then a lot of the colonists, as you'll see, get recruited from prisoners that you capture. Or you can turn them into slaves, which I can tell you about in a second as well. Several of these colonists are former slaves that have been since liberated by me. So, and you can also harvest slaves for blood packs, which I'll tell you about in a second, because one of my colonists, this chap here, is basically a vampire, and he needs to feed. If you have a look at that, he needs to do a blood feed. Or if that bar reaches zero, he'll get very unhappy. So he can feed on the prisoners as well. There are currently no prisoners in stock at the minute. The last prisoner I had has been fed into this machine over here because I needed to process their brain in this subcore RIP scanner because I'm currently gestating a war queen. I'm extremely excited about this, by the way, friends, because I have never had an aggressive mechanoid on my side. But whenever this cycle finishes, it's going to be a while because there's 10 of 12 remaining. But whenever this cycle finishes, I'm going to be the proud owner of a war queen who's got the brain of some poor colonist, some poor prisoner that I took. So that's going to be extremely that's going to be extremely exciting when that war queen is born. And I think what I'm going to do when the war queen is born, she is going to live out here. The war queen's going to be the first, or maybe she'll live in here. Maybe here is a good spot for the war queen to live. She'll live there and basically make mincemeat of any fucker who comes through there. So that's what the war queen is going to do when she is finally born. The war queen is a massive. I don't know if they've got a description of war queen anywhere. Let's have a look through here. Yeah, you can see the war queen is this massive. Massive mechanoid, ultra heavy, and now I have that waste pack atomizer. Now I have this thing. I am able to get her to be born. So I'm extremely excited about that because it's something I've never done in RimWorld before, is have one of them. So just continuing the tour a minute. If you go up through here, this machine here pumps out biofuel, which is quite important. You get into the hospital, lovely animalist slab there. Currently we have this, so during the last raid I had some traders in from the Pact of the Cove, and poor old Hummingbird was caught up in the crossfire and took a lot of damage and developed infections in her arms and things. So I've given her some drugs and I've taken her in. She's currently a guest in the colony. There's also this little chap here who's the most recent recruit to the colony. And he got involved in some sort of fight as well. What's happened with him recently? He lost his leg. I think he lost his leg in the last raid. And so he's been in store with a bionic leg now. So this is the hospital setup. See, all the medicines are stored on these things here. Spare body parts are stored down there. And the main doctor for the colony is this chap here. He's called Dr. Chris. Pretty good doctor. And he, like everybody else, has been converted to the blood, which is the religion, which we'll talk about in a moment. So if you just come up through here, this is the main kind of fabrication workbench. This is Derek, who is the main smith, I guess, or the main craftsman. He is currently making a spare lung, because those dogs that I showed you earlier on, one of my colonists lost their lung. Her lung was destroyed in a fight with one of those Labradors. They were fucking vicious, they were. So he is making her a new lung. So that's what's happening at the minute. These are the components and advanced components. Steel is stored there. This is one of the kind of power generators units. Those give off a lot of heat, so there's a ventilation system there. You can see this is a recent addition. All of this is recent because initially this was a building on its own. You can see where I've had to crack over the vent there with a different brick type. So
That's what that is. And then this is the kind of area where robots can be made. And this is the death rest chamber of Tom, who is basically a vampire. He also does all of the research for the colony. I'll show you quickly that he has an intellectual rating of 20, but he is a vampire, so that causes some issues. All right. And then if you go left down here from this area, kind of main hallway, this is the kind of main workshop where various things can be crafted. Stone can be processed into these little blocks here. Wood and gold and plastics and uranium and all sorts of things are stored in this little workshop here. Things can be weapons can be made and so on and so forth. So this is like the main workshop, and this is one of the oldest parts of the base is this bit here. This is the kind of core, and a lot of other bits were added later. And you can actually tell a lot of the time by the different brick types that were used. Most of the base is made out of limestone, but some parts of the base are built out of slate because there was an abundance of slate at one point. You can generally tell when things were built. Although later I went back to limestone, so it's not a hard and fast rule. Down here, through here, there is kibble. See all this kibble? Kibble, kibble, kibble. Kibble is used to train animals and to feed animals. And the kibble I've got is made out of a lovely mixture of hay and insect meat. You see, humans don't like to eat insect meat in this game. They spaz out. They go crazy if they eat insects. Occasionally, you get an infestation, and those are giant spiders and insectoids and things. They can be butchered like everything else, but they don't like to eat the insects. Well, animals don't complain when they eat insect meat. So, all of this is insect meat and hay mixed together, used to feed animals, who don't seem to complain about it. Now, occasionally, something can go really wrong, really, really wrong, and I run out of food, and somebody has to eat some kibble just to not to starve, out of desperation. If that happens, they go crazy. I have now set it using extremely autistic rules down here. I have set it so that they can no longer eat kibble. In fact, I've restricted their diet down to exactly what they can eat. They are now only allowed to eat meals like that. No eating raw meat, no eating raw milk, no eating raw potatoes or kibble. But for a while, I was having problems because people kept on eating kibble, right? You eat your potato and rice and goats, not the kibble. This is just an electric smelter that's used to smelt down metal slags and old weapons and things. There's this, you can get weapons that are bio-coded now. And so, I traders won't take them, so I just smelt them down when they come. Then this is the kind of main butchery where also leather is stored, because when you butcher an animal, they give off wool and fur and things. So there's some of that is stored here. Clothes are stored here as well. But generally, this is where butchery is done. Look, for a butchery, look how immaculately clean that is. You'd think there'd be blood everywhere, wouldn't you? But this is an immaculate... Your butchery would be absolute filth compared to this. I have got... This is actually quite a recent innovation. This butchery here, I now have frozen so that these bodies don't decompose and rot. And that's quite a recent innovation. I had to create this space so that the hot air could go out. And that's something that actually is, when I say recently, in the past year in game, that was added. And then if you go through here, this is actually underneath the mountain now. You can see all of their bedrooms. They all sleep in these rooms here. There's Jackie's room. There's their little baby Drex. Fats, who's literally a pig woman. I'll tell you about her in a second. She's married to Derek, and they've got a kid together as well. So they all have their rooms down here. Standard issue room, 4x4. You get a bed, you get a table, you get a dresser, you get a light, and you get a heater. Standard issue AA bedroom. Unless you get married, in which case you get a double bed in there instead. So Dr. Chris and Mekki are married. Tom and Signalid are married. They've got a little baby called Tommy. Kova is actually a lesbian, and she goes out with Winnie. She goes out with Winnie. But they have not got married in the game to date. I don't know if gay marriage is possible in this game. I'm assuming it is, but they're not sleeping in the same bed. But they do go out with each other. And so if you just go through here, you get to the main temple where our colonist leaders, Benny and Willie. They're the two nobles. They're the two leaders of the group. I'll tell you about them in a second. But this is where, a lot of the rituals take place. Conversions happen at this altar here. There was recently in a conversion attempt on this dweeb, this dude who's recent. He's not part of the blood yet. They can do other rituals. Down at this disco area, this is a kind of grand statue. This is the main temple, and if you want to have a look at my schedule, they work from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. Then they have a couple of hours off. They sleep. They have a siesta from lunchtime. Then they work for another few hours, and then they have more recreation time, and then they have an hour from 10 to 11 every night where they all congregate here and meditate at the temple. Every single night, everybody comes here and meditates at this spot. Benny is meditating right now. I don't know why. He's just kind of chilling out, I guess. He should be doing some work, but he's not. And then yes, I have a pet Thrumbo. I'll explain how I have a pet Thrumbo in a second, because these two characters here, Winnie here is from this race, the Yitakan, and she has 20 for animal training. And her girlfriend, Winnie, by the way, despite being female, has a beard. She's part of this kind of weird race of bearded women. She is the blood tamer. She's the chief rancher. And mainly all she really does is animals. They've got special powers, these Yetikin. For example, they can calm animals. They can, if you draft them, they've got an animal war call. They can tell animals to go and attack. So they have a real connection with animals, this race. And Winnie, who was originally a slave, she was captured from this tribe, the Yatakin. Let's find them a minute. The Yatakin, who were they called? The tribe of the Konyafa. They do raids and things occasionally, and they follow this thing called the Outlaw Path. And they're an absolute pain when they first come, because they can't eat meat. They don't want to eat meat. So it was very important to convert them. Winnie actually worked as a slave for like a year or so before actually joining the colony. But you can see that the she is like great at animals, as is the girlfriend, Kovya. She also has the same powers, and is just brilliant at animals. So that is how I've got a pet Thrumbo, because they're just extremely good at animals, those two. All right, so there's the temple, and then if you come up here, there's Willy's throne room. He's actually the main priest. He is the blood priest. I'll tell you about that in a second. And there's his bedroom that he shares with his wife, Price, who is also Derek's sister. And then if you come out here, you can see this is where we're growing the heel root, which is used to make medicine. We've got a potato farm here. We've got a rice farm. Mainly the colonists eat meals that consist of rice or potatoes and meat. Those are the typical meals. For a long time, they subsisted on simple meals that are made from butchering wild animals that were hunted. But more recently, it's got, you know, this farm has really got going now. And so there's usually some rice or some potatoes to use. There's also a cornfield down here. But because it's the middle of the winter, I don't think any of these things are growing at the moment. So they might die, actually, in the cold soon. And then here, this is the communication thing. This is the general cremation unit. So if sometimes corpses go rotten. And if corpses go rotten, they get dumped here, whether they're animal or human. Obviously not colonists. Colonists get buried in the great colony. Only two people have ever died in the history of the colony. Sophie, she died back in the second year on the 3rd of December. She died and was buried in the sarcophagus. And also... Gomez, who was part of the colony very briefly, he like joined the colony and like died a day later or something. Those are the only two deaths ever. If you're wondering, this whole chamber here, this temple, was originally an ancient complex, which had like mechanoids and old sarcophaguses in it, and so on, which I then appropriated. So a lot of the original layout of this sarcophaguses, I think some of them even date back to the original ones, and then I built sandstone copies of the original. Over here somewhere. So if you have solar power, fucking useless, like in real life. Bodies get cremated in there. Dead bodies, not researching, he's scanning the earth to try to find underground layers of steel and so on. Generally a very useful feature, especially late in the game where you've mined out a lot of the steel and so on. You can then get resources, like all of that uranium you saw comes from this mine up here, and I've just built a new steel one down there because the old one got depleted. There was a steel mine here, but it got mined out. And then this is a long-range mineral scanner where you can actually search the world map for resources that you want. I've turned that off at the moment because it's very annoying. It keeps on coming through with quests and things. There's some telescopes they can kind of relax at. Here was the original entrance of the fortress. That one I showed you is a new entrance. But if you had visited this 5 years ago or something, the original entrance was here, and the raiders would have to come through here. Now it's just a kind of legacy entrance, you know, to block off the start of the entrance proper. Then we have, so the blood, I'll tell you a little bit about the blood in a moment, but they're generally a kind of ranching. It's all about the connection of different kind of bloods to the cycle of nature. And they're quite into raising and killing animals, essentially, and eating animals. So a lot of the colony has pretty advanced farming operations. You can see here they've got bison, they've got yaks, they've got... and what I do generally is that you can see all the animals that are in the colony here. And there's generally a kind of stud pair. So there's a chicken mother and father. There's a duck mother and father. There's a goat pair. There's a sheep mother and father. Unfortunately, F's in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. Sheep father had a heart attack and died at the age of 14. Just a couple of months ago. And I have yet to find a replacement sheep father. F's for the sheep father in the chat. F for sheep. Poor sheep father. But he's dead. There's also a group of panthers that I have, fully trained up by Winnie and Kova. And if you're wondering about the panthers, they live around here. Here's the panther family. And they basically feast on the corpses of dead enemies. So dead enemies get dragged here. Sometimes I rip their heads off, sometimes I don't. These have not had their skulls extracted. And the panther's entire diet is dead bodies that are kept frozen in here so they won't spoil. So, yes, lovely diet. there's... in the winter, a lot of the grass doesn't grow, so I keep hay on these shelves for them. There's cows, there's horses, there's all sorts. They give off milk, of course. That needs to be hauled pretty sharpish to the refrigeration. There's the horse father. And generally, the colony has not tended to eat these animals. What these animals have been tended to, the use of them has been twofold. One, if ever the colonists need to travel, they can form a caravan. And let's just pretend we're going to form a caravan, okay? And let's say they're going to go here. You know, you can pick who's going to go. Let's just send, I don't know, Betty, say. And... you can pick animals to go on the expedition. So camels are good for riding. So you can ride a camel. Bisons and horses are good for... bisons kind of add... They can be used as pack animals. So that's one use of the animals, is that they're taken on expeditions to either carry cargo or to ride to get there faster. That's one use of them. The other use of them, to be honest, has not been the food that they can be slaughtered for, but the price they fetch being traded. So when a trader comes, I have before now sold off literally dozens of chickens and geese and, you know, all these roosters and hens and things. I can sell them off for good money. Like a bison, a trader will give about 300 for a bison. So, the main use of the animals has actually been to trade rather than to eat. I've tended to use the wildlife stock to feed from. You know, I'll set some of these to be killed, and they'll go off and do that. Or, of course, like we see here, you can get these Manhunter packs, and they're good as well. I mean, occasionally, if we're desperate, I can kill, like, say, this male bison here. I mean, I don't want too many bisons in the pen because they eat a lot and the animals starve. So I can set one of these to, you know, I can set him to be killed if I want. Currently, we don't really have a shortage of food. So I don't need to kill him. This is the base game. This is the base game with all of the DLCs, no mods, as things stand. I have played the game heavily modded before, but I actually just wanted to see what the ideology and the biotech and so on added to the game with no mods. So that's why I'm playing with no mods. So what else do we have? This is a kind of guest chamber. I don't know why Natal is sleeping in there. She shouldn't be. Sometimes you have quests where you have to take in a noble or something, and they need somewhere to sleep. And this is what this is. So I'm just going to fix that actually as we're talking. Why is Natal sleeping up there? She should be sleeping in here, say. Stick her in there. She should be sleeping in that big room. It's a guest room. Get in there, Natal. Okay. Anything else about the... Anything else I haven't told you about? So, yeah, I mean, that's the main base. You can see it in its entirety. Yes. There's one other thing. So, this is a kind of large area for chickens to hang out in. And chickens give birth to lots of eggs, and there's a mixture of unfertilized and fertilized ones. We eat the unfertilized ones, the fertilized ones turn into more chickens. They've been quite a good money spinner, the chickens, and generally quite handy to have them around. But this area here, somebody was saying, oh, you built the fortress under a mountain, noob. Actually, no. This is what is known as a bait box. And basically, there's about an 80% chance that the insect infestation comes up in here. I've had two insect infestations, and they've both come in to the bait box. So what happens is that, generally, if I get an insectoid attack, they will come up in here, and generally they hang around in there. They won't actually attack, but I will send one of the marines, that's either Zoya here, who has a charged lance, or Natal, who you just saw, who's got this epic plasma sword. They'll go and stand in there and kind of bait them to come out, try to persuade them to come out here, and then basically they'll get blasted by all of these turrets as soon as, you know. So the idea is you get the two marines to block them by this door, and they'll just get fucking annihilated, the insects. Although at this stage in the game, the infestations are pretty large at this point. So these haven't been tested in a while, maybe like 2 years or something. I haven't had an infestation. So I don't know if these defences will hold up. I'm worried that the next infestation may take a few lives, but we'll see. We'll see. Well, you're saying the turrets will die. The idea is that the two marines who've got... They've got marine armour on. She's got a big sword. Zoya here has got the charge lance. So the idea is Natal would stand there, Zoya would be a little bit behind because the charge lance shoots, and the insects won't be able to get to the turrets, basically, because they're being blocked at the door. This armor she's wearing is pretty tough, you know. It's pretty resilient armor, the marine armor. So takes a lot for, you know, insects to get through there. If you have a look, it defends against sharp damage by 123. So, okay. So yeah, I could put traps down there, I guess. That could help with the defenses a little bit, I suppose, against the insectoids. But in my experience, the insectoids, even though they look big and scary, they actually go down pretty quickly. They don't take that many shots to kill, and you know that even the this sword here and this thing that Zoya's got, this charge, like they'll take down a giant spider pretty quickly. You know, especially if they're backed up by these guns. Yeah, there can be a bit of friendly fire, but if you have a look at Zoya, she's pretty much bionic at this point. She's pretty much like a robot at this point. So, you know, she's had a lot of places. She's had a lot of injuries and things replaced at this point. And Natal has also got a lot of things replaced, including a pair of venom fangs here. So, yeah. So, anyway, and the whole thing is that, let's say that all goes wrong. Let's say that goes wrong. I can always get people to come in here behind the gun and just kind of bait them out and then have an entire firing squad behind here as well. So, all right, enough about the base, unless anybody has any questions. Does anybody have any questions about the base? I'll have a look. Yeah, I don't know what to do about the exposed power conduits. You can't put power conduits on. There's no underground in this game, so I don't know how you don't expose them. You have to have them exposed. You can't have, if you're going to have separate parts of the base, I don't know how you don't have exposed power conduits. Yeah, I'm not going to have walls. I'm not going to have walls through between each of these buildings, I'm afraid. Not just for the power. Look, I've got them going up there because I don't want anybody coming in here. But and I've got them going over there. Look, but I'm not going to have it here. It can, like, if there's a kind of massive storm or something, they can catch fire occasionally. That's not a problem. I can deal with that most of the time. So there we go. You can put sandbags on them, can you? That's not a bad idea to put sandbags on them. I might try that. I might put it. It's still a lot of sandbags, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm all right with them being exposed for the time being. All right. Does anybody have any questions about the base before I get into the lore of the group and some of its characters? Let's see if there's anybody got any questions, and then I'll carry on. Can we see a live raid? No, I'm not going to do a live raid because the colony is just recovering from two massive raids. So they need time to, like, get over the stress of that, I'm afraid. I'm not gonna play any live right now. What I will do is I'll tell you a little bit about the Blood. So the Brotherhood of the Blood is the name of the group. And the Blood is their ideology here. It's the ideology of the Brotherhood of the Blood. And as you can see, they're ranchers, and that's why there's so many farm animals here. They're loyalists. And yeah, it's a pretty straightforward religion, really. It's all about blood returning to blood. And so they have a number of rituals. So there we go through the calendar, their December ritual is called the End of Blood. That's where they have a kind of festival around a Christmas tree. The New Blood is the starting, is a dance party that takes place at the start of January, I think, the New Blood. And then the circulation of the blood takes place, I think, in spring, is it? I'm not sure. There's one of them which takes place on a funeral, on a pyre like this. Which one is that? Oh yeah, that's the circulation of the blood, and then the summer festival is called the Blood Sun Festival. So those are the four dates that mark the blood calendar, and the Christmas party tends to happen down here somewhere. The New Blood takes place around here as well. Typically, the Sky Lantern Festival takes place over here in the middle of the field, and they do the pyre stuff next to this altar. Although they used to do it outside over here, but in the past couple of years they've done it inside. So that is the blood. I'll introduce you to some of the colonists here. So this is Benny. He is one of the founder colonists. He does most of the negotiation for the group. He's also a nobleman, part of the Fallen Empire. He is a praetor. And I showed you his throne room earlier on. He's got a pretty impressive... There's his big throne. There's his harp that he plays on, and there's his bed. And he married a girl called Zoya, who's this marine I've been telling you about. Where's Zoya? She joined the colony 3 years ago. She came from a group called what were they called? What was Zoya's group called? Oh, yes. She came from a pirate group known as the Cancer Slickers. Yes, the Cancer Slickers, friends. And she was captured and then converted in... how long did she spend in prison? 14 days in prison. And then she spent 14 days in there, was converted. She actually got blasted in the actual shootout with the colony when she was part of the pirate raid. She got her nose blown off and she got her jaw blown off. And I think lost one. Like, she was really severely mangled and injured by the Brotherhood of the Blood. So when she was brought in, she was basically on death's door. And so they gave her bionic legs and bionic arms, and gave her a love enhancer and a new nose and pair of, you know, a new jaw. So Zoya is basically mostly robot. She's almost like Darth Vader or something. But she is a marine, and she does a lot of fighting for the group. She also gave birth recently to little Kenny. There's Kenny here. Now, I learned something that nobles like Benny don't like their babies being in their rooms, so I've had to make this a little bedroom here just for Kenny. I may have his mother sleep in there. Maybe Zoya should be sleeping with him. So let's do that now. Maybe Zoya should be sleeping with Kenny, and leave Benny alone in his massive room. So, yeah, there's little Kenny. I should also mention that Benny and Zoya have been genetically modified by me. They are... Benny has been made into something called a healer, which is a gene, an exogene that I made up, consisting of ageless, super fast wound healing. And unfortunately, you have to take... you have to take pyrophobia, which means he's scared of fire. He's scared of fire, right? But that means Benny won't put out any fires, neither will Zoya, which is a bit of a pain. But it does mean that Benny doesn't age and that he's got super fast healing. And if you have a look at... he has also got various powers that he's been given. When you're a noble in this game, you can get various powers, including the Word of Love, which is how he seduced Zoya in the first place. He's got various kind of Jedi mind tricks he can play here, and he can also call down... He can call, like, troops and things, which he's done... Like, during one of those raids, I had to call in troop. In fact, that was the previous raid beforehand. Getting hit quite hard at the moment. Getting hit quite hard, but if you have a look, I've replaced his stomach so he doesn't get food poisoning, and one of his kidneys has been replaced to give him greater immunity. So Benny is pretty he's not indestructible, but he's got good kind of immune system at this point. So that is Benny and his little family unit. Also, as part of the founder group, was Benny's sister. If you have a look, Benny's sister, Benny Drexel is his name. His sister is called Jackie. There's Jackie. Now, Jackie, when we first joined the colony, was a very skinny woman. She has been genetically modified to be something called a Duracell. That gives her a very fat body, but also makes her very attractive. So she's been Brosnan maxed, you could say. Also, she has very low sleep, and she's delicate too. So there's a number of things that she's been modified with. It unfortunately has made her a bit of a chungus, but Jackie is the chief cook for the colony. And produces, I would say, 75% of all the meals. She spends almost all her time in the kitchen. Occasionally, she goes out, does some plant farming as well. But mostly, she's in the kitchen. So that's what Jackie does. Yes, she was really stick thin before, but now she's fat. She's been made into a fatso. She married a guy called Bear. Here is Bear. Where's Bear? Can't remember where Bear comes from. He was from the Ubieni sect. Who were they then? Who were the Ubieni sect? Oh, right. Okay. He was from this kinship of Banastara. Who I actually have pretty good relations with at this point. Don't actually remember how Bear came into the colony. Was he ever a prisoner? This will tell us. No. I want to say Bear was one of those guys who crash-landed and was saved. I think he was crash-landed and saved. That would explain where he's from. Yes, I think he was from a friendly group, and he crash landed and was taken in. I can't remember how long he's been with us. He's only been with the colony for 2.7 years, but he fell in love with Jackie, and together they've got a kid called Drex, named because the surname of Benny and Jackie is Drexel. So that's why he's called Drex. There's her little room there. And then, I think Bear was a crash land. I think he was a crash land, but I could be wrong. And then the other original colonist is this chap here, Willy. He is also a noble. He's a lower ranking noble. He's a knight. Whereas Willy, Benny is, just interested a moment. Who is the current heir of this title of Benny's? See, Jackie is designated as his heir, but surely that should be... Can that be changed? Surely that should be his little son, Kenny, now. I don't know how that can be changed. I'll have to look into whether you can change who the heir is. Don't know about it. Is there an option in here? That's a good question. I don't know if I can change Benny's heir, because currently Jackie is set to inherit his title, should he die. Anyway, no, he's not called Drex Drexel, because if you have a look, they take the father's name, and the father is called Meshmunt, so... his name is Drex Meshmunt. And I'm trying to remember what Bear does for the colony, typically. What's he doing now? He's drilling. Yeah, he does a bit of cooking as well, but he also does mining, helps out with the animals a little bit. And he is one of the hunters. You can generally tell... The people who are set to do hunting, that is the hunting of these wild animals here, wear these little headsets. So Price, Bear, Cover, Dr. Chris, and Mecky, and Viv, all, and this chap here, they all go hunting. So if they wear that gun link, they go hunting, essentially. Everybody else wears a hood. Unless they're a noble, in which case they wear a top hat. Or if they're a marine, they wear a helmet, like these two. If Winnie, who's a blood tamer, which is a special role, she wears this kind of special thing on her head instead. But generally the uniform is... I can show you the uniform. The blood uniform is set down here, look. They wear a pair of pants, they wear a t-shirt, and they wear... Hold on a minute, that's the wrong one. Oh, here we go, look. It's a very simple thing. They wear a t-shirt, they wear a pair of pants, they wear a jacket... And then on their head, they wear a hood. That is the basic uniform for everybody there. Certain people get special things. Tom wears a very special uniform, which we'll talk about in a second. So anyway, Willie, he is also an original. He does a lot of construction. He's a builder, basically. He has a background as a construction engineer. So he basically built a lot of what you see was built by Willie. And he is the priest. So all of those rituals that you saw were mainly conducted by Willie. If there's a marriage, he'll be the one doing it. And he does a lot of... he converts people. Converts people there. Nobody has ever been publicly executed to date. There's been no like crimes or anything. So, anyway, that is what Willie... He is the main kind of moral, spiritual leader. Benny is the political leader. Between them, they are the, you know, the throne and altar, if you want. He has a wife called Price. And she actually came in very special circumstances. I remember how she came. She is the sister of Derek, who I'll tell you about in a moment. But there was a quest where it said, oh, Derek's sister has got like some shame that she's running from. She won't tell you what it is, but can you take her in? Can you know, as a refugee, she'll work for you, but she's not going to tell you why she's there. Also, some guys are chasing after her. And then there was, like, I don't know, the number of pirates or something after Price. So I don't know what Price did. She's got a shady past. But she was converted into the blood. She was formerly from something called Mankindism, which isn't she is actually the only Mankindist person I've met in the game so far. So where she's from, I don't know. But yeah, she's Derek's sister, and she came in unusual circumstances. She obviously does hunting with that headgear. She helps out with the animals and bit of donkey work here and there. But she mainly does hunting. It's what Price's job is, and she's part of the defense squad as well. So yes, it's the dark past of Price, but she was converted by the priest and is now the priest's wife. So she's got a kid as well. His name is Lucas. There's little Lucas there. Maybe she should be sleeping in that bed, shouldn't she? Price should sleep there. And whoever that dude was. There's a bunch of randos. These guys here are randos. They're refugees that I've agreed to take in for a period. Now, I wouldn't usually take in refugees, but these ones are of interest because they're already part of my religion. They are the only other people in the game who have come as part of my religion, the Blood. They're from this group called the Hilla. So I've agreed to take them in. I don't know what their deal is. They were just like, oh, we're on hard times. Take us in type thing. Where's that Zug guy gonna live now? He's gonna have to live up in this guest bedroom, I suppose. Zug, there you go. So yeah, I mean, they've been hanging around for a few days, those guys. They're working and things, but Frogs, Lisa, Zug, Gog, Kevin and Rye are randos who are just kind of refugees. Yeah. I am hoping that when the quest is over, they're just going to join the colony, because they've been quite handy to have around. I mean, that's probably why the butchery is so spotless, for example, is because, you know, they're just doing cleaning and things. Although these things could do with a clean. All right. So another person who joined, the very first person who joined the colony, after the original three, Benny, Willie, and Jackie, was Fats. Here's Fats. She is literally a pig woman. She is a pigskin female. She's a very handy member. She's also a master builder at this point, a planet-known master builder. She, along with Willie, built basically most of this base, or at least the early base. Was built by Fats. She also helps out in the fields and things, does a bit of mining and so on. Generally a very, very handy pawn. But as you can see, she's a pigskin. She has pig ears. She's got a pig voice. She's got a Hulk-like body. She's got trotters for hands. And so, yes. Fats was an early colonist. Now, how did she join? She was a prisoner for 16 days, and she came from a pig clan known as... Let's have a look. What is the pig clan called? Is it these guys? Yes. The Rough Pig Union, the Squeako tribe. Now, the Squeako weren't always, like, hateful of me, as bad as they are, but I think I've generally pissed them off more over time by, like, throwing pollution at them and, you know, kidnapping Fats and so on and so forth. So, over time, they, like, the Pig Union have really, really disliked me. But anyway, Fats is the original recruit. She's been with the colony almost as long as the original, 7.5 years, look. So she's basically the first new person to join. And generally speaking, a very handy colonist. She's, you know, not terrible on the assault rifle and so on and so forth. So the one pain in the ass with Fats is that she's obsessed by drugs and she's often satisfies to things, which is really quite annoying. But anyway, she married Derek. Here's Derek. He's our master craftsman, if you have a look. 20 for crafting. He joined the colony 6.9 years ago, so he's also been around for a very long time. Also taken in as a prisoner by me. And he was part of, I think, the Cancer Slickers, Zoya was part of the Cancer Slickers. He wasn't Cancer Slickers. He was, I think he was part of the Sharp Frogs pirate gang. Seems right. Yeah, the Sharp Frogs. So, Derek was a pirate, and he is a genie as well, which is a kind of... They've got some unique traits. They can't grow any hair. They have elongated fingers. So, Derek and Fats are a very strange couple because he is tall and thin and looks kind of almost like a kind of, like the grey aliens. He kind of probably looks a bit like one of those. She is literally a pig, and they are a couple together. And horror upon horrors, they have also had... a child together. Oh, by the way, Fats lost both of her legs in a terrible, terrible raid a few years back, and have since had them both replaced with bionic legs. So that's unfortunate for Fats. She has bionic legs. But anyway, Derek and Fats have had a child. This was the first child born, because Fats and Derek were the first couple. There's Junior. Junior's actually grown up now. He's 10 years old, somehow. I don't know how he's 10 years old when he's only been with us for 2.7 years. I don't exactly know how child aging works in this game, because... Like, in-game, he's 10, but I haven't, like, artificially aged him or anything. So I don't know how that... I don't know how that happened. And basically what happened with Junior is that he is a hybrid. And he was born, horror upon horrors, with a pig nose. So I immediately replaced his pig nose with a much more aesthetic nose to make him look more like a normal person. So that we didn't have a pig child running around. So, yes, he's been genetic. He has now had been artificially plastic surgeoned. Yes. So, anyway, Junior, he has been training mainly to be a miner. And he's into construction, a bit like his mother, really. And he's too smart and he's a quick sleeper. So he's actually turning out to look like quite a useful colonist. I don't know exactly when they come into maturity in this game, but he started to help out quite a bit. He also I don't know if there's any here, but he also like draws like chalk things on the floor and play. He spends a lot of time like observing others, which is a really neat feature of this game. Like, I was really surprised just to see like Junior hanging about, like seeing what people are up to and learning new skills as a result of it. That's quite smart. Then we have the monstrosity known as Tom. He has also been with the colony for a very long time, 22 days, and I believe, unless I'm sorely mistaken, Tom and Derek came in the same raid. They're part of the same group. They're both part of that pirate gang that I just mentioned, whatever they're called, the sharp frog. So Derek and Tom knew each other before. You can see, like, he's pretty good mates with Derek, and he's been with the colony for a very long time. Now, unfortunately for Tom, very early on in his time as a colonist, there was a raid, and he basically had a headshot, which blew his jaw clean off. You can see he still has a metal jaw that's been replaced. And this was really fucking tragic because he lost his tongue. He couldn't talk anymore. And at one point, he was a really sorry sight for a while because he had, like, severe injuries. Like, he'd lost a limb, couldn't talk. And he was, like, really, like, he was getting depression because he couldn't talk anymore and things like that. And basically what happened, a number of things happened. First of all, he spent a lot of time in one of these regeneration units, and it grew back his tongue, and it grew back a lot of his kind of vitals. So he could talk again. And the other thing that happened is that somehow he was infected with basically vampirism. I can't actually remember how this happened, but he is now what is known in the game as a sanguifone or sangophage, which is basically a vampire. And you can see he now has, like, quite miraculous powers, this guy. He doesn't like the sun, obviously. Doesn't need to sleep a lot, but he's basically superhuman. He's got, like, he's got this ability where he can jump, like, halfway across the screen, which is quite amazing. And this has been a lifesaver because with using this power here, he can heal basically any wounds. So he can jump, like, halfway across the map and heal someone after a raid or something like that. He spends the majority of his time researching in this lab here. And when he's not there, he's over here looking for underground minerals and things. But in addition to being a vampire and being the chief researcher and the chief scientist and so on, 20 for intellectual, a legendary master known across the galaxy, Tom is also what is known as a mechanator, which is something that is this biotech DLC added. And he has a number of little bot minions working for him. Here is Tom's lifter, who goes around hauling stuff. And this is Tom's cleaner, who goes around cleaning. And I found that the lifter bot and the cleaner bot are more useful to have around than slaves. Because at one point, the colony relied on a bit of slave labor. There was one slave set to clean and one slave set to haul things. A chap called Irwin, who now rests in here. Poor Irwin. He was killed during a raid, but he was a slave. And the other slave, the other slaves that I've had are Winnie. She was a slave at one point. And her girlfriend, Kovya. She was a slave at one point. One of them was set to haul and one of them was set to clean. And basically over time, I was like, well, actually, their other stats are much better than this. And they're not very happy being slaves. So I basically recaptured them and then put them back in prison and recruited them instead of making them slaves. And Winnie has been with us for a long time now. Kovya, a little bit less. But yes, they were with the colony. Winnie has been with the colony almost from the start as a slave. And then she was emancipated. And has now become the blood tamer, which is like the chief rancher. That's why she's so good at animals, for example. So, yes, that is who Tom is, though. Tom is the Mech Lord, and he wears a special... That's why he's wearing this special uniform. If you notice, he has got amazing bandwidth, but that bandwidth is afforded by this special helmet that he's wearing and the special suit that he's got here, the Mech Lord suit. I bought that for a huge, huge amount of silver. Can't remember how much it cost, but it was like, we're talking like 6,000 or something I spent on that. But I wanted to get rid of the, I wanted to try to get the wealth rating down. And I think you can still see it. That was me basically buying that suit. Look at it. That was the purchase of Tom's suit. So there we go. Yeah, I sold basically all my animals and everything I could to buy that suit for Tom, because it takes a lot of resources to build one of that. Let me have a look. There was a reason I couldn't build it. Yeah, look, you need all sorts of special chips and things to build that. I was like, I'm not taking all those raids and things. So, yeah, it was that. So I bought it for huge money instead. When that suit runs out, I don't know what I'm going to do to get another one. But anyway, right. What else? Yeah. So he is the blood drinker, Tom. Tom the blood drinker. Yes. He's a blood drinker. Yep. Blood drinker, Tom. So Tom is a pretty scary dude. I mean, he needs to feed. He often at night time goes around just kind of doing the classic Dracula, feeding off the other colonists. They don't seem to mind that much. They've never kind of been upset about it. But the more humane way to do it is to simply set these operations and get these hegemon packs. See that hegemon pack there? That is typically, you know, you can extract loads of hegemon and they build up there and he eats those. He's just had a feed, if you had a look, and he's having a bit of a death rest at the moment. So, yeah. They're all right with him. It's the Brotherhood of the Blood. They're all right with a bit of a with a vampire living with them. And he married this girl here, Signild, who is a very recent joinee. She's had her arms. She basically was involved in a pretty big battle coming into the fortress and lost basically the entire right side of her body, which is now being replaced. But she came in during some sort. I remember she came in during some sort of quest, and it was a similar deal to Price, where I was like, okay, I'll give you shelter in exchange for like shag the vampire, basically, you know. So, so she goes out with him, and they are trying for a baby. They're trying for a baby, but they haven't got one yet. Now, what I don't know. Oh, they do have a baby. Little baby Tommy. Little baby Tommy. Sorry, he was born. He is only... yeah, little baby Tommy. When was Tommy born? 13 days ago, Tommy was born. There's little Tommy. And I don't actually know what happens. Like, he has not taken any of the genes of Tom. So even though his father is a vampire, they come in as xenogenes, which aren't passed down. So he doesn't have any of his dad's vampire blood, unfortunately. So, yes, this is little Tommy. And then, yeah, we've talked about Winnie and Kova. If you don't believe that they're a couple, look, they're engaged to be married. Pregnancy is not possible because they're the same gender. But yes, there's going to be a lesbian marriage at some point between Winnie and Kova, the two former slaves. I have to say, though, despite the fact that they've been a lesbian couple, I have seen absolutely no lesbian lust. they are experiencing the lesbian bed death, Winnie and Cova, because I have yet to see them even try to sleep with each other. So Covia has not even set foot in Winnie's bed yet. So, yes. So there is Winnie and Cova. I'm not sure if Tom is ageless as well as a result of his vampirism. Is he ageless too? Oh, he's not. Yeah, he is ageless, but he's also deathless. He can't die, Tom. So if all, like, let's just pretend that there was a massive raid and everybody was wiped out and I just totally lost control, which is possible in this game. Tom, I think, would still resurrect somehow if he could make it back to the chamber in time. So he could be the survival of the entire colony one day due to the fact that he cannot die. So anyway, we've got the lesbian couple. We've got, now we've got Dr. Chris, who's actually really old. Dr. Chris is like in his 70s. And he has been de-aged a little bit. I de-aged him. He was like 73 and now I've de-aged him to 71. He has had both of his eyes replaced because his vision was going. He lost an R. He had a fight with Siglid recently and lost a finger, sadly. I may replace his entire arm. I may replace that entire arm. Give him a bionic arm. I don't have a spare one at the minute, but yeah, so he's pretty old, but he's very good at medicine and is the chief doctor. Also helps her out around the place. He does a bit of construction work and helps out with hunting as well. Dr. Chris, excellent colonist in general, very helpful. Usually the first on the scene. I've set him to always be there. If you have a look at his work, you know, any doctoring needs to be done, he goes there. A lot of surgeries and things. And he married a woman who was in her 60s, like I mentioned, called Mekki. And I've just remembered now, Mekki was a slave. Mekki was a slave for a long time as well. Even though it says that Mekki has only been with the colony for 1.2 years, Mekki spent like 3 years as a slave as well. And the slave uniform, they have to wear a full burqa, basically. So there's a full, like, burqa, you know, so they cover their face. So Mekki, for a long time, had her face covered, and you didn't see her. However, Mekki was very good at crafting. Have a look here. And spent a lot of her time as a slave. Basically, her entire time as a slave was spent chunking down rocks, turning them into blocks. Mekki basically spent 2 years just at the grindstone, grinding down rocks. And I thought one day, well, she might make a good wife for Dr. Chris, you know. And now she is his wife. And she has been, for the past year, Mekki has been stuck in this chamber here. Because I have been continually de-aging her. De-aging her. And so now she's more fertile. Like, now she's 47. Theoretically, she can have a child with Dr. Chris. Now, in time, I want to make it so that Dr. Chris can't age anymore, because I don't want him to die. Oh, yes, I did do that. I have genetically modified Dr. Chris not to age anymore. So he's 71, but he's never going to get older than 71. So he can't develop any of these... Like, he developed cataract in both of his eyes. Couldn't see anymore. And was really getting, like, quite shit. So Dr. Chris has been brought back. He might be quite scary to look at with his bionic eyes, but, you know. Yeah, generally, I hope that Mekki, at the age of 47... You can say I've de-aged her from 65 to 47. She will be able to render a child unto him. She's carrying an old injury, sadly, and did have her left kidney damaged at one point as well. So another Another problem that we've got in the colony is that the people who I've saved have tended to be female. There's a lot of women over 40, infertile women under 40 in the colony. And we're about to meet some of them. First of all, I'll just mention there's Grey here. Grey came... he came through a raid. He was a prisoner. He was from the city, the Cancer Slickers, same as Zoya. Been with the colony a couple of years. And Grey is a waster. A lot of the Cancer Slickers are wasters, which means they like pollution and things. And unfortunately for Grey, he's got grey skin and he's fucking hideous. So none of the women want anything to do with Grey because he's unattractive and he's got grey skin and he's gaunt and he's kind of addicted to various drugs and things. So helps out with the plant, like the fields and things like that. Not the best pawn in the world. There's Grey there. Ugly bastard. He has not been able to find a mate. None of the women want to talk to him at all. Or is that true? Sorry. I'm wrong about that. He did. He finally married Ola. How did that happen? Ola is 39 and is married to Grey. Oh, God. I must have installed something to help that along. Why did she marry him then? Yeah, Ola is a former outlaw weyer as well. Not been with the colony that long, but anyway, those two are married now, and I guess they're trying for kids, are they? No. Let's have them try for kids as well. Ola can have a baby with Grey. Baby Grey. Ola and Grey are a couple. Ola, she's like a kind of deputy chef, I guess, does a lot of cooking. Also helps out. She's kind of general all-purposer, Ola. Had her arm blown off at one point or bitten off or whatever. But so we have Grey and Ola. They're another couple. Oh, yeah, and this character here, Dweeb. Now, Dweeb is... Dweeb is a former slave, too. I had more slaves than I seem to remember, but she also came from the same pirate group as a lot of the other ones, Dweeb. She was enslaved, forced to kind of do a bit of donkey work for a year or so. But then I basically decided that full colonists are more useful than slaves in this game. So, yeah, and Dweeb, generally very good at shooting, does a lot of hunting around the place, helps out in the fields. Has got an annoying voice, apparently. But look, Dweeb is over 40, is 49 years of age. So Dweeb, and she's pessimistic. So unfortunately, Dweeb is an infertile woman who is part of the colony. As is Natal. Natal is 51. She's a marine. And look at that. She's an abrasive misandrist. She hates men. She agrees with female supremacy. She refuses to do dumb labor around the place. She won't clean or haul or anything like that. She's a good warrior, is Natal. She came from... I'm trying to remember how... I think she came from a... I seem to remember Natal was rescued rather made a prisoner. I could be wrong though. Yeah, look, she never spent any time as a prisoner. Natal was rescued. But you see, here's a problem because we've got these two lesbians, Winnie and Kova. Then we've got Dweeb and Natal, who both hate men and are over 49. Viv, who's 44 years old, and is infertile. I guess she's not infertile at 44, but I think their chances are reduced at that age. She was a prisoner. She came in from, again, the same pirate gang. We got a lot of raids from those same pirates, so there's a lot of them belong to that same pirate gang. And then we have Fox, who's 58 and female. So this is like the kind of spinster crew: Dweeb, Natar, Viv, and Fox. They're all spinsters. Fox, by the way, is an imp. She can spew fire from her throat. Generally a pain in the ass. And what does Fox do? Mainly it kind of helps out, but she's not a very good pawn, really. Yes, she was captured in a recent raid. She's not been with the colony for long. Recently converted prisoner. Came from a imp faction called the Strong. What are they called? The Fokev as is the same. He hasn't been converted to the blood yet. Unfortunately, his conversion ritual failed. It reduced his certainty, but it didn't convert him to the blood. And he is generally a hunter. Stuff like that. No, it doesn't even like Fox, particularly. But they say they came together, and he's another imp. And that. So, there we go. So there is a little, you know, taste of why I love RimWorld. I don't know if there's any. I don't doubt there's been any super chats. I can check. In a second, I'll just save this and close it down. All right. Well, there have been some super chats. There have been some super chats. So I'll deal with those, and then we'll get out of here. So let's have a look. I'm just refreshing entropy here. D's Ball Observation Mirror says, emancipation, refugees, lesbian, pig women, consensual vampirism, an overabundance of spinsters, nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Yes, I'm afraid the when beggars cannot be choosers, and when you're a little colony of survivors on a hostile planet, you have to kind of take anybody you can get, really. I think emancipating Winnie and Kovia, despite the fact that they are lesbians, in fact, I've seen a few interactions where Kovia was trying it on with one of the other women, and her advances were rejected. So not only are they lesbians, they are trying to cheat on each other as well, because that was after she was engaged to be married. I stand by my decision to emancipate the lesbian slaves, Winnie and Kovia. 20 for animals. I wouldn't have a pet Thrumbo if it wasn't for them. So, you know, slavery built this colony. Spasticus Autisticus says, say what you want about war crimes. This game taught me that they work. You see a POW, I see a valuable bag of surplus organs to sell, meat to cook, into lavish meals, and leather for stylish clothes. Yes, absolutely, Spasticus Autisticus. Von here says, hey, hey, people, what's your favourite Seth video? Who's Seth? Is Seth that guy who does Rimworld videos? Is he the guy who does Rimworld videos? I have no idea. I did that schedule I've got was taken from a guy who does Rimworld videos. No, I think the guy I'm thinking of is called Adam versus Everything. It's probably a shit lib or whatever, but his sleep schedule works quite well because they get fewer kind of recreation freakouts with that one. Who else? Kay says, been looking forward to this. Nice to have a bit of light-hearted fun in between politics. Well, isn't it, Jess? Given that I've spent, you know, so many hours playing the game, I thought I'd share it with you. Isn't that nice? And Carl says, glad I wasted so much of your time gifting you this. Here's towards the next DLC consuming days of your life. Oh, yeah, well, thank you very much for that, Carl. This game was gifted to me by a kind viewer a long time ago. When I said I liked Dwarf Fortress, I then was gifted this, and really, that was one of the best things because I just gave me hours of fun. If you like, but it takes me a long time to get around to playing anything. So, all right, well. If you've missed the stream, you can just wait for it, and it'll be back on YouTube in a jiffy, and you can watch it from the start. I'm roboting because I opened something to check to see what my. How about now? God's. Do I sound right now? Stop moaning. Thank you very much, everybody. Hope you enjoy this stream. I will see you next Monday for Cigar Stream. I'm trying to get more like normal, like 10, 20 minute videos out as well. Hope you've been enjoying those. And buy a course, join the channel. If you don't join the channel, join it and you can get access to literally hundreds, thousands of hours of back catalogue of academic agent content. Who knows what you might find in the dark and dusty archives of the AA channel. Join the Substack, buy a course. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.